It's been two Wednesday nights. But spiritually, he's washing. There's a cleansing going on. He's always washing, but tonight, you have come out because you're desiring something more. And the Lord's going to honor that in you. He's going to wash you with the word tonight. If you'll just sit here and let him wash you with the word tonight, you will see the blade one day. Just let him wash you. But I'm glad y'all are here. I really appreciate this opportunity. I am teaching on the ministry of reconciliation. And last week was our first teaching. I gave a definition and an understanding of what I believe the ministry of reconciliation is. It was a long, lengthy one, and I didn't go back and repeat it, so I typed it out, and my husband has a copy. If you need a copy, please raise your hand. He should have been passing them out. Honey. If you have it, it's just right here. I don't have a copy of the lesson. This is the lesson, and the lesson's in your heart. So if you weren't here, the lesson's still in your heart. The message hasn't changed. The message is the same. You're just hearing it from a different voice and a different perspective. So if you know the Lord, you've got the message. Okay? So we're going to jump right in. Is the ministry of reconciliation, my scripture that I am basing my study off of is 2 Corinthians 5 from 14 to 21. I'm not going to read those scriptures. They're here for you to read. I will read, though, however, the 17. It says, If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To the wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their sin, their trespasses unto them, and hath committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now we are ambassadors for Christ, as though Christ beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So, I'm going to come back to this real quick. During this 6 weeks of the study, what I'm going to cover, my intentions to cover, is we're going to talk about the love and grace, the presence, and the name of Christ. We kind of went over, we started with that last week, and that's what we started into. Tonight I'm going to talk about the call and purpose, and then we're going to get into the old man, the pride of life, and the new man, the eternal life, during these 6 weeks. I'm not going to say which week would be which, because it'll probably kind of all intertwine. And so just, I want you to get your minds and yourselves geared to what we're talking about when you hear it. This ministry of reconciliation, if you got your notes, it says, what is the ministry of reconciliation? It's a personal relationship committed to God, committing your life to an absolute surrender to God. Y'all, that is what we are called to, absolute surrender. And we're talking about the heart. God looks at the heart. He does not look at the physical outside of us. He's looking at our heart. We must surrender our heart, which will be spirit and soul. And we also need to surrender our body. It's a full deal, spirit, soul, and body. But the heart is what he wants from all mankind, to be surrendered to him. So we talked a little bit. I didn't talk about the heart. I hope I get an opportunity to talk about the heart in one of these lessons, because if you don't understand the heart and your heart and what that's about, you're going to have a very difficult time understanding the Word of God and how it's working in you, and what he's doing in you, okay? So, absolute surrender, what is that? It's when you come and cast this self-life, this flesh life, at the feet of Jesus, and then you trust him. Come in the living faith, that's believing, that's us. Living faith is a faith that produces life. So we come in living faith that Christ will come in you with the power of his death, and the power of his life, and then that the Holy Spirit will bring the whole Christ, that's the Christ crucified, the Christ risen, and the one living in glory, into your heart. The result of your absolute surrendered life will be an expression of the divine nature, God-likeness or godliness. If you hear the term godliness, this is what you're wanting, God-likeness in character and nature. Okay? It's a new and living way exemplifying divine characteristics in your life, not good human characteristics. God's life in you expresses itself as God life. That's eternal life. We'll be talking about that in the new man in one of these weeks. Not as the human life trying to be godly. That is the pride of life. That's the old man. Okay? There's a difference. Huge, huge difference. In the absolute surrender life, the supernatural is made natural in you by the grace of God. The experience of the absolute surrender life works out in the practical details of life, not in the times of communion with God. Understand that somebody came up to me last week, last Sunday, and she was just sharing with me her heart. And she says, you know, when I'm alone with God, I feel so good. I can get so into the Word, into God, into the spirit realm. But then when I walk away from there, I struggle. That's what absolute surrender is for. God is going to reveal to you and me in those times of that personal, intimate time with him. And then we should be able to go out and live it. And that's where we get snagged, because we don't know how to do that. We don't even know what it looks like to be absolutely surrendered to God. And that's what he called us to, okay? We're going to talk about the call tonight. Let me look at something right here. Last week I talked about the surrender, and we didn't open with prayer, but God's okay with that. We're going to move on because he's here. He knows what we're doing, okay? What is the one thing you and I must surrender to God? What is the one thing we must surrender to God? We talked about it last week. Our will. And I gave you the example of Adam, the first Adam, and the last Adam. I gave you the example in Isaiah 53 when Christ was at the going to the cross. Before the cross, he suffered and travailed in his soul. And the verse before that, it said it pleased God to crush him. And Jesus was suffering. Why was he suffering? When I studied that out and sat with the Lord, he showed me he suffered because Jesus was going to have to eat off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God gave Adam in the first Adam a commandment, don't eat off of that tree. He gave Christ the second Adam, you eat off of that tree. So Christ was doing exactly what Adam did to reverse the penalties and the consequences. But think of this as you think about yourself giving your will up. Christ had the perfect will of God. He walked on this earth in the perfect will of God. And the Lord said to him, you have to eat off that tree because you've got to become obedient to death and die on the cross. Now you and I, we live on the wrong side. We live in Adam, the old Adam, before we're born again. And we got this will that is rebellious. It hates God. We're an enemy to God. We don't want to hear from God. We don't want him telling us what to do. And Christ has the perfect will of God that walks with the Father in his very presence, never has left the presence of God, ever. And he says to the Father, says to the Son, you go eat off the tree, which means, and Christ knew what that meant, he walked 3.5 years with rebellious people. He saw how ugly we were. Now, we think he did it for us, and we were a product of what he did, but he did not do that for you and me specifically. He did it obeying the Father. The same call you and I have been given. not the results of the circumstance he takes us to look at that and say, oh, I get to do this for God. I don't think Jesus was jumping up and down saying, oh, look at me, I get to separate from Daddy. He struggled. He struggled in the garden because he knew that that was going to be the most terrible time of his life, but he had to surrender his will. Why? Because the Father asked him to. He didn't demand it. He asked him to do that, just like he does you and me. So you and me, we have to surrender our will to God. And it's a very difficult thing for us to do unless we understand his love and his grace. See, Jesus knew the love of the Father. That's all he needed to know. He didn't need to know the end results. He knew the results of what he was going to do, but he didn't need to know that. Just like you and me don't need to know the results of what's coming when God asks us to do something. Just obey. And the commandment says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, it's not saying to show how you love me, keep my commandments. He's saying, given that you love me, then keep my commandments. That's all he's saying. You say you love me, then you'll keep my commandments. Why? Because they're for our benefit. They're not against us. They're for us. But because of where we come from, we have a lot of reconciling. See, reconciliation is we were hostile. God made him, he made peace with man. He's no longer hostile with us. We're still hostile when we're not born again. And we're still hostile when we're born again. Y'all, don't be surprised. And don't be deceived that you're not hostile towards God, because you are. Unless you're walking in absolute surrender, you're hostile to God somewhere in your heart. We just get more and more understanding and truth, and we get set free, and then begin to walk in the realness of who we are in the new man. So that's what we're doing. So when Christ gave up his will, but see, in the package, he also had the other side of that was when he did that, that would give us the ability to do the same thing. So we're without excuse to say, I can't do it, because he says, no, I put it in you when you're born again. I put my love in you so you can do this. Okay? So that's what we're doing. We're surrendering our will. That's what he said, God. That's in Psalms 40. Verse 6 and 7, where he says, sacrifice and offerings you did not desire, my ears have you opened. Take note of that those words right there, because I want to come back to that. Burnt offerings and sin offerings have you not required. It was you prepared a body for me. I don't have the full scriptures written out there, but I'll just read it real quick, because I want it. Psalms, what did I say, 40? Psalms 40. Doesn't he say in Romans to present yourself a living sacrifice? He wants you to present a body for offering, nothing else. I mean, you know, praise of the lips, yes, that's a thanksgiving, but there's a body, this living body. This is a living sacrifice we're going to give back to God, because he's given us the ability to do that. Yeah, he says, sacrifice and offering you did not desire. My ears have you opened. Key thing to know. My ears. This is a prophetic voice of Christ. Burnt offerings and sin offerings have you not required. And then said I, lo, I come in the volume of this book written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God. Yea, your law within my heart. Every morning we also get up and say, I desire to do your will, Lord. Holy Spirit, help me today, every minute of this day, to yield my will. But the more you get to know the love of God and his grace, because that's a requirement, we need to know the grace of God. We don't know the grace of God. In the fullness of who that is, that's Christ Jesus. That's the Lord Jesus Christ in us, is God's grace. And then in Hebrews 10:5-10, it says, your will, let me see, I'm going to go there, because I'm going to show you this. I'm just showing you scripturally what Jesus did for us. And my face is on fire, y'all. I can feel the blood just, is it red? It feels so hot right now. And my ears are probably red too. Okay, Hebrews 10, 5. He's quoting this same, the writer of Hebrews is saying this same scripture of the Psalms, talking it out. But then he comes down, I think it's 10. He says in 9, and he said, lo, I have come to do your will, O God. And he takes away the first that he may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified. By the which will, whose will? Jesus Christ's will sanctified us. Through the offering of the body, Jesus Christ, once for all. Okay? So, understand his love, which is what? Complete surrender. Obedience to the word of God is how we show and walk in the love of God. We're talking not a feeling that's within you, but an action that you follow through with. That's being in the love of God. Walking in that divine nature that we're talking about here. Well, if you don't know the divine nature, you're not going to know what you're walking in. You got to get in the presence of God. This is what this is all about. Constant presence of God, just like Christ was constantly in the presence of God. Never left the presence of his Father. He always heard him and he always saw what he was doing. And you and I can do that too. And it's in the spirit. We're not doing that in the flesh. We laid that flesh life down and we laid the self life down in front of Christ. When we said, I want you as my Savior, we reconciled our spirit completely to God. Perfect reconciliation with the Father. In our soul and our body is where we're struggling to release the will, because the will comes from the soul, the mind, will, and emotions, the intellect. We're used to reasoning everything out. We have to divide. See, the word says in Hebrew, the sword is, the word is alive and powerful, and it is sharper than a two-edged sword to come in and pierce between the soul and the spirit so that you and I can live spiritually and get out of the soul realm. We renew the mind to get to the thoughts of God, but we don't live there. Even when we have the truth, we don't live from our soul side in the truth. Worshiping God is by spirit and truth. It's in the spirit we worship God. And the only way you're truly going to worship God is when you see his glory. You saw that last week. I showed you Moses. When Moses went on the mountain the first time, he was in the glory of God. He didn't see the glory of God. He was in the glory of God, just like the body of Christ is in the glory of God. But if you don't see the glory of God, you'll never enter into true worship with him. We're all born again. Into the glory of God we go. But we're blinded by the flesh in our soul side, and we can't see the glory of God. But when you and I see that glory, just like Moses did, he fell on his face and worshiped. Okay? And remember in Haggai 2, the latter glory, and y'all help me in this. When I use that word ladder, I think my brain goes backwards on that, and I think, and that's the furthest one out, but that's the closest one. I get a reverse thing in my head, and I may speak it wrong, so if I do, y'all just say, you know what I'm talking about. The latter glory, which is Christ, the glory that Christ has, is a greater glory than the glory that Moses had. And in the house of the latter glory, he'll put his peace, Christ in you. So what I said, we're not looking for the Shekinah glory of God. Will it appear? Yes. But you and me should not be chasing the Shekinah glory of God. We should be bringing that glory to the people so they can see the light that's in you, which is the glory of God. And when the body of Christ comes together, the glory gets real heavy. Do you want to know why the presence of God is so thick? Because we have his glory. He just didn't fall down from heaven. He came out of heaven inside, outside, and we feel that tangible presence of God. man, he's in you. You are the light. You don't have to try to be the light. You are the light to the Gentile. That's the covenant Christ has with God. You're a light to the Gentiles, and you're the glory of my people. So we're going to talk about being his people. That's tonight. We're going to talk about the call, our call, and our purpose. All right. In the definition of reconciliation, it's broken down. You go into, you have the word reconcile, and then the root word of reconcile is conciliate, and then conciliate is call. What is a call? First off, every believer, I'm going to tell you, this is a personal relationship. Remember, when I talk, I'm talking personal heart-to-heart relationship. That's where I come from in my understanding. And so I want y'all to get this for yourself. It's not for your husband or your wife, or it's not for your next door neighbor, your mother, your father, your children. It's for your very own heart. This is a personal, intimate relationship that's going to produce fruit unto God. If you will go there and reconcile your heart back to God. Okay? So we come up and we go, hey, what's my ministry? What's my ministry? The ministry of reconciliation is every believer's ministry. Don't ever let you think or anybody tell you you don't have a ministry. This is the ministry of Andrew Womack. This is the ministry of Ken Copeland. This is the ministry of Trey Dickerson. This is the ministry of first and foremost. Ministry of reconciliation is a lifetime ministry. You should never walk out of that ministry. And out of that ministry, everything else will flow once you get absolute surrender to God, because you'll be in his perfect will. His perfect will has already been put into you with everything, an additional call or an office he may put you into. But most people in the body of Christ are not going to be in a fivefold ministry. So, see, we get all hyped up. Well, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? Reconciliation. Reconciliation. That's the answer. Reconciliation. What's the call on my life? What is the call on your life? You hear that all the time. Well, what's the call on your life? Jesus Christ called you and me and every man into his presence, his glory. That is your call. Into his name. That is your call. Quit looking at anything else past that. Until you get that, what you think you want down there is not even for you, because you've got it in your own heart, has God told you. The only way you're going to know that is to let him tell you, which means we got to come to him, release our will to him, and let him minister to us what it is he has for us. I believe on the cross, Jesus Christ called every human being. I know he did. I believe he did with all my heart, because I know he did this. He had to do that so that he could bring righteousness to all of mankind. You and I weren't even born, but he already had a call on us. He called our spirits to the cross with him. See, that's that surrendered life, crucified in Christ. You were crucified when Christ died for you. He called you into eternal life, into his glory. I truly believe that when we're born, when we're brought into the world through conception in our natural parents, I believe it's the first voice we hear. He says, I am the first and I am the last. The first sense you have active is hearing. The last sense, they say, in death is hearing. I am the first voice and I am the last voice you'll ever hear on this earth, coming in and going out. I believe that with all my heart, because he's a good God. I'm going to tell you in the womb, I've called you to eternal life. We know there's a God. You know why I say that? He can hear. He told Jeremiah, before I was formed, you knew me. Paul, in my mother's womb, you called me. Now, Paul was talking about more than just the call of eternal life. He was talking about his office moving out, but he knew. We know John the Baptist, when his mother heard the citation of Mary, he jumped for joy and was filled with the Holy Ghost in the womb. He heard through his mother's hearing. And hearing is, that's why I wanted you to go back to that Psalms, what was it I told you? 40, when he says, "You open my ears," that is extremely significant. In the call, you got to hear. To obey, you've got to hear. In the Hebrew, well, first, let me go here first. The call is an invitation. The call is to give a name to. There's our call. I've called you into my name. Remember last week, if you were here, we went and saw what Moses saw. What did Moses see in the presence of God, in the glory of God that he showed him on the mountain? Let's go there for a few who aren't here. I want you to look at this. You need to go back these and look at this. This is divine nature. It is Exodus 34. And prior to this, this is where Moses had asked him, remember, in Exodus 33:13, this is where you need to understand grace and why grace is so important for you to me to understand. The Lord says he gives grace to the humble. Humbled person is one yielded to the Lord, surrendered. He'll give you grace and abundant grace when you humble yourself. And that's how we get, that's how we walk this out, by grace. It's by grace through faith we were saved. It's the grace we stand in that we have access to. So in here, and Moses, see, Moses, I said last week, he was a very smart man. He was a very humble man. He wrote about himself in Numbers. He told you he was humble, inspired by the Lord to say that. Why? Because he asked the most important question ever. And you and I every morning should ask the same question. And Paul asked that question too. When Paul humbled himself, when he saw Christ on the road, and he saw it walking Damascus. Yeah, Damascus. This is the same question you and I need to ask the Lord every day. Just like, okay, Moses in 33:13, he says, "Now therefore I pray you, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way that I may know you, that I may find grace in your sight and consider that this nation, your people." And then the Lord said, "My presence will go with you and I will give you rest." And so they had a little conversation going back and forth, and Moses, and the Lord said to Moses, "This thing you've asked, I will do, for you have found grace in my sight and I know you by name." See, Moses asked him, "You're telling me, God, I knew I was the deliverer of Israel, but I did it in the flesh and I messed it up 40 years ago. So I had to go back into the backside of the desert and I was for 40 years." And he had a lot of time to think about what he did. He wasn't naive to what he was called to do. Moses was not naive to this. But when he met God and God said, "Go take them out of Egypt," he did 10 wonderful miracles. And Moses never asked him, "Well, why?" He just went after he settled who was going to talk for him. And he went and did all this, right? Now, do you think that you would see something great about God in that? 10 miracles? And he comes to him and he goes, "You tell me, you're wanting me to take these people from here to there. But you say you found grace in my sight, that I have found grace in your sight. But I don't know who you are." And in the Hebrew, when you ask, "Show me your way," he's saying, "Show me your character. Show me your name." Your name tells a character of who you are. Tell me who you are. Because if you want me to do that to that, I tried it 40 years ago and I messed up. But I need you to tell me who you are so I can trust in you and take and go. And so God said, "You know what? That's a very wise man. I'm going to grant him what he just asked me." Because he's gracious. God is gracious. Moses didn't make it about himself. He made it about God. You and me need to do the same thing. Don't make it about yourself. Make it about God. It's God we're looking for, not us, because we're ugly in us. We need God, okay? So as he went there, here's the name. Here's the name you and I have been called into. This is his glory. His glory contains everything you and I need. This was a partial glory, though. He had the full glory, God did, but Moses could only see a limited bit of his glory because he was not born again. And so God protected him, put him on the cleft of the crevice of the rock, covered his face as he went by. He said, you can see my backside, but my face you can't see because you can't live if you see me, because he's not born again. There was more glory. That's the latter glory that is greater than the former. This is the former glory. There's a latter glory coming. There was a part of the glory that Moses couldn't see because he was not born again. He couldn't see the full kingdom, but he could see the character. This is the divine nature you and I are supposed to be exemplifying towards others, not good doing. Not human goodness trying to be like God. God life, just natural living. We shouldn't be surprised over miracles. We shouldn't be surprised over healings. We shouldn't be surprised over all this stuff we're surprised about. Well, you really are God. It really works. We should not be that way, y'all. No condemnation. Hope of glory is in you. Just keep looking towards the hope and the glory. We should be like, surprise is not happening. Man, why isn't that happening in my life? Because I'm not seeing you with the fullness of my heart. Absolute surrender. You can measure your own self where you're at. Are you surrendered? Well, if you are, you'll be seeing God-like activity in your life. It won't be a surprise to you. It won't be a surprise to you. So here's the name. Moses said when God came down on the mountain for Moses, he said, he passed by and proclaimed, the Lord, God, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness, abundant in truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquities, transgressions, and sin, and by no means will clear. And the interpreters put the guilty. I personally don't believe it. Setting him there for the guilty, I believe he's saying, I will never clear my name. That will never, ever be anything different in my name. I will visit the generations for generation for generation, trying and trying and moving in mercy, moving in mercy, moving in mercy for them. I'm never going to clear that. And then it can be, I'm never going to clear. He can't clear the guilty. You have to surrender your will to him. You can go that route with it too. Both ways work. It really does. So here's the name. Characteristics. Divine characteristics that should be working and growing in our hearts. Not by an effort that we do, but because we are obedient to God and we give him our will. Okay? And Christ came. When Christ came, he says he's coming in the name. See, he brought a better glory, the complete package of his glory. He brought the eternal life side of the glory that was not available to Moses. See, God was the only one in the Old Testament days before Christ, I should say, before Christ. He's the only one that could speak for himself, unless he let a prophet speak through a prophet or a king or a priest. But God had to have the voice to do it. He's the one that gave the commands, and we yielded. Now, Christ came, and he brought the full voice. He became that voice that they heard in Deuteronomy and Exodus when the children of Israel heard the voice of God. Never, ever has a nation heard the voice of a God from heaven, ever. It says that in the Word of God, somewhere in Deuteronomy, I believe, from the day it was created until that day, nobody had heard the voice of God. Everybody heard the voice of God. That was God's full heart. For every man to hear him for themselves. Remember what Israel did? Fear, we're going to die. Moses, you talk to him. And then you tell us what he's done. that's rejecting God. But they said, everything you do, you tell us, we'll do. And God said, oh, that's a good thing they've said, but only if they had a heart to do it. They didn't. And he was trying to show them that. But you and me, we have a heart to do it because of Christ. He's brought that love. He's brought eternal life. He's brought the full glory into us when we're born again. We have no excuse for not surrendering our will, except for the pride of life in our heart. Now, we can't get ugly and say, well, people in Israel, how could you be that stupid that you heard the voice of God, and then you won't surrender? How can you be that stupid? We're that stupid today because the pride of life is so prevalent in our heart. We do the same thing to him today. We're no different. Until we begin to hear the truth, and then we begin to let that process in our heart. And so in that call, when the Lord called you to him, and he sent the Holy Spirit, once he was glorified, to remind you, when you were not born again, somebody spoke something to you, and the Holy Spirit breathed on you in those words, trying to get you, he's going to convict you of the sin of unbelief. I've already done it. Somebody's going to tell you, and that word's going to begin working on you if it's truth. It works effortlessly. And then you hear the truth here. The first commandment God gave to Israel was, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. You shall." Bah, 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 bah. But that's not the first commandment. The first commandment, go to Mark 12:29. It's interesting when I saw that, when they said, what's the greatest commandment? What's the great commandment? And in Matthew, he just starts saying, and you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your might, da, 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 da. And I said, Lord, what's the difference? Because in Mark, he goes, hear, O Israel. First commandment is, hear, O church. And if you hear, which means when you hear, you're going to follow through with what you're hearing from that voice with full compliance. When you and I hear God and only God and give him our will, then we will love with all our heart, our mind, our strength. And it's not an effort. When you and I hear him and obey him, we're in the middle of his love, dead center in his perfect love, because we are resisting the pride of life in us and giving our whole self over to God. That's the result of being obedient. He talked to Israel over and over, hear my voice and obey, and this will happen. Hear my voice and obey. None of these diseases will be put on you. Not that God was putting them on, but if you'll hear me, you're walking in my perfect will, has all the protection you ever need. You'll never, ever be touched by anything outside of me. Hear me. The name in Hebrew, and we're going to go with the name because I want to go there on the name. In the Hebrew language, the word picture for name is destroys chaos. That, you know, the Hebrew letters are pictures on each letter. And I'm not a scholar in all that. I just got a book on it, and it tells me all this. So I believe it because they've been there a pretty long while reading it and knowing what it says. It paints a picture of destroying chaos. And in the Hebrew language, the name is God. I mean, it's unspoken name because they can't speak it. But when they hear that word, God, name, God is the thing they look at. Yahweh, unspoken. When they hear the word hear, it says see the name. That's the word picture. Hear, obey, understand. See the name. When you and I are walking and we hear Lord Jesus, boom, we ought to see gracious mercy, 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 grace, long-suffering. This is what you need to start doing when you're walking to get used to hearing what the Lord God name is. He's merciful. He's gracious. Man, you're long-suffering. When I'm over here arguing with Shannon, I should be saying, Lord, yes, you're merciful. Have mercy on her. Long-suffering, be patient with her because she keeps asking me the same question over and over. Merciful, gracious, long-suffering, patient, teaching in meekness and humility, giving goodness and truth. That's what we're wanting to develop in us. We don't have to do it. We just have to listen to God, and the Holy Ghost will come in and start doing that for you. You know, our part is believing. Believing that the name the Lord has eternal life. Believing that He brought His power of His death into me, that I can lay my life down at that moment. I want to get in the flesh when she starts asking me the same question over. I just said it to you 1,000 times. Lord, you've given me the power of your death, and I've been crucified with you. And that's what you're saying to yourself while they're talking. You know what I'm saying? You're listening, but you're also, you need to guard your heart in what people are putting at you, because there's a lot of that stuff. They just want to talk. You can guard your heart all day long. Jesus did it. That's how you minister. That's what we do. So when you hear the name Jesus, it's not like, oh, let's get all excited. Jesus, Lord, merciful, gracious, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. That's how you practice being in presence of God all day long. He will put you in situations every day to have the opportunity to practice these truths. And if you feel like you haven't had that opportunity, ask Him. He'd be happy to put you in one to help you. But you're already there. You put yourselves there. We put ourselves in that most of the time. We walk in the flesh, and then we got to jump back into the Spirit. So our call is into the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, into His glory, into His eternal life. Most people on the earth that have become believers, born again, that's your call. And then you influence the people that are around you right there. You will have a bunch of things to do with the Lord if you'll yield yourself to Him. Somebody needs you. Let me tell you something. And I'm just going to be very vulnerable here. You know, I teach Sunday school here. And I get like one or two people coming. And that discourages me sometimes. But I encourage myself in the Lord, because the Lord says, Arlene, I called you to teach. I didn't tell you how many comes. I didn't tell you how many don't come. I called you to be obedient to my voice. You show up, and if no one's there, you teach anyway. But the other day, a person came. The Lord corrected me today in such love. I had determined in my heart before I left, I said, if so-and-so comes, and I dislike this person. I'm going to share my heart with you. I'm not telling. If they come, I'm just going to go over to Bruce's. We're going to Bruce's class. I got there, and the Lord says, teach. And I said, you're right. Because this individual needed one-on-one teaching. Simple, simplistic, childlike teaching. Because the ability to comprehend is not as strong in this person. That person can change the world. If you and me approach people with the value that they have in them and they are worthy, don't you ever let anybody tell you you're not worthy. Don't you ever, I don't like this teaching, we were not worthy. We were worthy. Christ said I was. He came for me. He came for that person. And He calls you and me to have the same compassion, the mercy and the grace to one person. Because He's working in their heart and your heart at the same time. And I said, thank you, Father, for showing me Christ-likeness in me that I obeyed. And I don't know if anything was said that would penetrate. But you know what? The fact that the value, we don't know how God's working through us to people. We just have to be obedient. It's not on me to say why. It's yes, sir. Because I love you. Because you love me enough. If I was the only one, you would have been there for me. It's not about doing. It's about being Christ. And that's your purpose. Your call is to the glory and eternal life of God. Your purpose is to a minister and a witness of God in you. You and I have no other purpose on this earth but to be a minister to God, not to each other first. A witness to God, not to each other first. But you know what? He's got to minister to me. He's got to minister to you, and that takes personal, absolute surrender. If you and I, just like the children of Israel, had come out of idolatry, years of idolatry they've been in, and they saw miraculous miracles, and they come to the other side of the Jordan with the Ten Commandments broken, and in between they got some silver and gold and they made idols for themselves. We do it today. Why are we surprised? They've never had their heart cleansed of that stuff. Where was I going with that? Witness. They heard God, but they didn't hear God. Hear, O church. Hear. Hear me. And the only way you're going to hear him is to sit with him in your heart. You can be busy all day long doing what you do in life, but you don't have to be busy in your heart. You can constantly think of God. You can constantly walk around and let him teach you spiritual things through the natural. He'll do it all day long if you'll open yourself up to it, because that's what he wants you to know, who you are in the spirit realm. Like Pastor Robert said, we have limited him. You can go anywhere in the spirit with God if you would just separate yourself in your will to God. Not you. Not you doing it. You got to give the will up. That's what we got to do, and he'll do the rest. Your intellect doesn't even have to be involved. It's not when it comes from the spirit. This is soul. This is spirit in life. This is inside us. So our purpose is to be a minister and a witness. I want to take you to Paul. Let's go to, I'm going to show you this. Let's go to Galatians. Galatians 1. Ooh, I can't get there. Oh. You know, I think Paul was probably the humblest man in the New Testament and Moses the most humblest in the Old Testament, because they both asked the same question. Who are you? Paul was a very religious, law-based man. Moses was a man about to bring the law. They were both self-righteous men. But both of them were humble enough to say, who are you? Paul, in Galatians 1:16, this is Paul talking. 15 first. But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called by his grace. See, he heard in his mother's womb. He was called by the grace of God. First into the name of God. First into the glory of God. First into eternal life. And then he said he wanted to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen. Same thing for you and me. Jesus Christ wants to reveal himself in you, to you. That's a personal reconciliation back to the Lord. He wants you to see him in you. And you can't do that unless you sit and let him minister to you. That's what he came for. Jesus said, I came to be a minister, not to be served. I didn't come to serve. He gave an example. He washed the disciples' feet. He goes, you don't understand what I'm doing right now, and yet you will. And I want you to go and do the same thing. But see, you and me, we want to get out there just like Israel. We'll do everything you tell us to do, Lord. We'll do it. We'll do it. We'll do it. We hear the voice of God. Ooh, we get scared. Whoa, he really means it. We back off. And then we say, well, after, see, they did that when he told them, when he sent them over to the promised land to go scout it out. They scouted it out. They came back with a bad report. And then when he said, don't go, they said, well, we'll go now. We're going to go. And they went and they got their little kick, their butts kicked, didn't they? We do the same thing. We do the exact same thing. And you know what that is? That's pride of life. Hard in your heart. Hard in your heart. Hard in your heart. And I'm going to tell you, that's where you're going to struggle. We already looked that up in Revelation 12, 11, whatever, 12 something. Overcame by the blood of the Lamb. We overcame by the word of our testimony. And I love not my life to death. Boop. We don't even see that one. We don't even know that's there. Because no one ever quotes that one. That's an and. That's an added conjunction with that. Those three things. So if you're not victorious in your life, probably you haven't given your life absolute surrender to the Lord. Because it requires you to give your will up. Everything. And that's what he said, though. He didn't surprise you. He didn't surprise us. He didn't give us a promise and not tell us. Whoever told you about Jesus probably didn't tell you, but see, that's because they don't know about the ministry of reconciliation. So, okay, so this is what he was called to. He was called in the womb. Now, let's go back. We're going to close. I'm just going to do this, and we're going to talk about this real quick, and then we'll close because it's almost 8 o'clock. Let's go. I think it's Acts 9 I want to go to. I got to... Not sure just yet. Well, before I do that, before I want to talk about idols, I forgot to talk about idols. I need to talk about idols. You've got to understand this. And we're going to talk about more of this when I get into the old man and the pride of life. Idols are... Let's go to Psalms 115. Let me show you what an idol looks like. When the Lord appeared to Israel, he says in Deuteronomy and I think Exodus, I'm just going to paraphrase it for the time, and I might come back next week and we'll talk about it. He said, hear me. Remember Psalms 40? The Lord says, you have opened my ears. Jesus talking to God, you have opened my ears. He's talking these ears in the heart, in the spirit. You've opened my ears. But an idol, if you'll read, what did I tell you, 115 or 135? Okay, 115. Go to verse 3, but it says, but our God is in heaven, and he has done whatsoever he has pleased. Their idols, silver and gold, the work of man's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. They have eyes, they have, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet they have, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like to them, and everyone that trusts in them. You know why the Lord said to Israel, those who have ears to hear, let them hear. Those who have eyes to see, let them see. They were idolatrous people. They came out of Egypt that had multiple gods. Egypt had gotten into Israel. Israel was just as heavy into idolatry as they were, Egyptians. Multiple people came out. You know they brought some of their little trinkets with them. They didn't know God. They brought their trinkets out with them. And then when they heard God, they got afraid, but they still didn't know God. They didn't know God. And when he went away, Moses went away, they made a God. Let's go. So see, he's saying, if you worship, when you begin to worship a God, you cannot see, you cannot hear, you can't even speak, because you're just like what you're looking at. Psalms 135 says the same thing. It says, verse 13, your name, O Lord, endures forever. Your memorial, O Lord, throughout all generations. For the Lord would judge his people, and he will repent himself concerning his service. The idols of the heathen, silver and gold, the work of man's hands. And they have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Neither is there any breath in their mouth. And they that make them are like to them. Everyone that trusts in them. You and I have different idols this day and age. We have idols. Idols are something that usurp God. Our own way. We're usually the idol. Myself. See, that's the disposition of a disposition of sin, or the nature of sin, is my claim to my right to myself. Not immorality or wrongdoing, but self-realization. I am my own God. And they love not their life to death. I don't want to give you my life. Maybe I'll give it to you here, but I'm not giving you my whole life. I'm turning to my God, my idol, whatever that may be. And because it won't have a mouth to answer you, and it won't have ears to hear you, and it won't have anything else that you're looking for, I can make up my own mind what's good and bad. Oh, I can have that. You're just like that dumb idol that can't speak. But see, when God spoke to a people, he says, I'm going to be your God. I am your God. I'm the God of the universe, but I am going to show you who I am. You will hear me. Now, I can't make you respond, but you will hear me. You can hear him when you're not born again. He guaranteed man they would hear him. That's why hearing. Hear, O Israel. Hear. That means you're going to obey. Hear. That means you're going to obey. When I obey, I'm smack dab in the middle of perfect love. Perfect love casts out all fear. It's real easy in some ways, except for the believing. Oh, I got to believe? Yeah. Because that nourishes that word of God that's in you. Believing brings it to life. Believing brings it to life. Living faith. The word waters it. Pastor Trey's talking about the vine and the seed, how it works. We water it. You know, you're a gardener. You can water your plant all day long, but if you don't put fertilizer on it, it's not going to produce the most beautiful fruit or vines or plants, leaves, whatever. You've got to fertilize it along with the water. That's believing. That's believing. So it's after 8, so I want to stop there. But I want you to, you've got to understand idols. Well, let me just, Ezekiel 16:17, and I'm stopping there. You have also taken your fair jewels of my gold and my silver, which I had given you, and make to yourself image of men, and did commit whoredom with them. See, when he spoke to Israel, that's what I wanted to say real quick. When he spoke to Israel, all he commanded was, hear me. You form no image of a man, a cow, the stars, the moon, the ocean. So what is the image of God? Don't make an imaginary image of him in your mind. He said, don't even do that. Don't make me imagine it. Don't use your imagination and create in your mind who I am. All you get, the image of God is hearing. Hear. You and me are born just like him. Hear. Who? You, God. Hear me. Nothing else. Yeah, but Marcia said, hear me. Marcia may be telling me truth, but I need to hear God. When she gives me truth, I need to go back to the Holy Ghost, the Word of God. I'm going to hear you, Father. I need to hear this. Is this true? Most of the time, if you're already in the line with the word that's being brought to you, you already heard it. Hearing. He's open. He's given us ears to hear and eyes to see. Both you have made. Proverbs 20-something. That's the significance of hearing. It's not, you know, Israel couldn't hear. They didn't have a heart made to hear. They weren't born again. They were full of sin. They couldn't love because they can't, really can't love because they can't hear and obey. Because they won't surrender their will. So that what we're doing in complete reconciliation is the surrender of the will. Absolute surrender, spirit, soul, and body. There is so much more here. But I'm going to stop because it's after 8. I know y'all had a long day. And I'll just pick up there next week with purpose. We're going to talk about Paul. I need you to see that because you need to understand why you need to know about grace. It's essential. Christ is our grace. He is grace. You have to understand grace. We'll talk about grace in our purpose. Our purpose in this personal reconciliation. Because you can't be a true ambassador. We bring a false witness to the world. And that brings shame upon us because that's an idol. We've made ourselves above God. And I'm going to tell you, idols and pride of life are detrimental to you and me. They'll kill you. They're killing you right now. I can tell you that right now. Every one of us got pride in our heart right now. Coming through the process of sanctification will burn that out of you if you allow him to sanctify you. It won't burn it out of you because it's just going to lay it down. You'll rise up above it. It's going to be there in the flesh forever until we leave this body. But it is important to understand what pride of life and idols, what that is, how that's tied together, and the shame it puts it over you and carries you with you in hidden places of your heart you don't even know you have because it's so subtle. It's a life killer. It's fornicating with the enemy spiritually, and you don't even know it because you haven't loved your life to death. Or how's that? Did not love their life to death. It's really subtle. The enemy is quite deceptive. But we have God and we have the truth, and we know the truth, and the truth that we know will set us free. So I hope y'all got something out of that. A little bit more.